drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come, Lord, thanking you for a good day that you've given us. Thanking you for health and strength and rest through the night. Lord, for another opportunity we have to come together to fellowship. Lord, in the Word, by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for those of like precious faith here, those that would listen in by way of the hookup. Lord, for this great day and this hour, for every promise that's been vindicated, proven, Lord, and come to pass in the lives of your bride. Lord, may you just give us revelation this morning, Lord, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, you're able to open the simplest and the deepest of all things, Lord, and it all comes in your time. May you bless each one now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here, and we just thank the Lord for every opportunity we have to come together and to worship him and give praise to his lovely name. Now, today we're looking forward to having a dinner after and some fellowship, and so We thank the Lord for the opportunity of that. Then tomorrow we're going to be headed out for a couple weeks, and we ask you to be in prayer for us. Amen. And the Lord will give us travel and mercy and a good time there, and that he will just have his way in all things. And we want to be praying for Brother Goomba. He'll be ministering for us. We appreciate that so much. And we know that God is in control. Amen. In all things, God is in control. Amen. Amen. So now I'd like to get right into the message this morning. And it's another one of those that you know you won't finish. So you're just going to do the best you can and get as far as you can. And the good thing is we don't have to be in a hurry. We can take our time and enjoy the revelation, enjoy the word. And so we thank God. Now, this is in the token message. And I'm going to read out of at least two of the token messages, maybe three. And coming, still talking about the climax, because what's happened in this day is the climax. It has come to a climax. And so there's been many covenants through the ages. Adam started with a covenant. Abraham had a covenant. The law and the prophets, they had a covenant. But then the church ages, there was another covenant. When Christ came on the scene, that was another covenant. That's why it was called the New Testament. It was a new covenant had came now, and it was the blood of Jesus Christ was the new covenant. And so we know there's a lot that went with that, but that was it. The blood paid the price for sin, and the blood covered sin. So this is in the message token on paragraph 317. Now, the word Joshua means Jehovah Savior. Isn't that something? So does Jesus means Savior. And Joshua, when he knowed his messengers returned back and said, I have obeyed your orders. See? And just think, God give Joshua the commandment. God give Joshua the order what to do told him, go down, you're going to take the land, you're going to do this and this. And so then Joshua, it tells those men that are believing him, that are following him, that are loyal to him, he's telling them, now I want you to go down there and I want you to look at the land, spy out the land and see what's there. Prove the land. Bring us back some evidence that this thing is real and true. And so that's what they did. And the messengers returned back and said, I have obeyed your orders. And there was a woman we found when we played the tapes. And you see, he's bringing it to our day. Amen. Just as they went down there and they talked to the people and they were milling around among the people and telling them about the great things that God was doing in their day through their messenger, Moses, and through Joshua. And so Brother Branham likened that to those that are introducing the message to people today. And so it's a great thing. So we found a woman and we told her that all that would come under that red sign back there, the token, it would mean. See what it would mean. And so now this woman, she helped them. And you know the story, so I don't have to go into all the details, but she helped them. And so they made her a promise. Amen. Just think now, this wasn't Joshua made the promise. This wasn't God that made the promise. Right. This was now the body. This was the believers. Yes. Yes. And they're making the promise because they've been charged by Joshua to come down here and do this. Right. And then Joshua had been charged by God to come and do this. And so now they're on their own now, making the promise to this woman that everything that's in your house, you put this scarlet thread on your house and said, everything that's inside your house is going to be saved. Yes, sir. No questions asked, just everything inside, everything on the outside is going to be gone, is going to die. That's it. And so they're telling Joshua, see, that's what we preach. We preach that. And so this is what we told her. And so now, and so they're asking him. Said, now I have preached that. Will you honor it, Joshua? And he said, I sent you to do it. Amen. So, to me, that was a great type of today than Christ in his bride and the word in the bride. She is the mouthpiece of God today. Brother Ram said, the only way that this world will see or hear from God today is through you.
That's right.
That's right. The prophet's gone. The only thing now is the bride.
Amen.
That's Christ on earth today. If the people are going to see Christ, they're going to see him in you.
Yes, sir.
And so you see the responsibility that is upon the body of Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
To realize that she's the very voice and the very image of the people who are going to see God. They're going to see in you and in your actions and in things that you do. That's how they're going to see it, because that's where God is hiding at. He's always had a veil, and you're the veil today.
Amen.
So that's a great thing. So these men, they went back. They told Joshua, this is the promise that we made. And so Joshua is accepting that, and he's putting it before God. And you, as I said, you know the story. God honored that.
Amen.
Here was walls that were so wide that they could run chariot races.
Yes, sir.
Chariot races on top of this wall.
Yep.
It was so big. This place was so big, so massive. And her house was attached to that wall.
Yep.
Think about that.
That's right.
And so all of that wall comes down and her house don't come down.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
Now, they didn't even know what all God was going to do.
Right.
This was new to them, but God honoring their word and making it more supernatural, more of a miracle than what it could have been.
Amen.
And so that's God's way. We know that. So he honored their words. God honored their words. So we like it. 3:19. Then when God honored it, the house never shook down. And then when Joshua stood there and gave the signal to destroy the whole thing, went right straight up. And Ahab and all of her people set right, and all their possessions, amen, all their possessions was in the house safely. Now, they didn't lose nothing. They just stood there. They didn't have to look out the window. They could sit, They could read the scripture while the battle was going on.
Amen.
What a comfort that is.
Yes,
huh? Just sit back and relax, knowing everything's good. God's got everything.
That's right.
And they were watching the scripture being fulfilled. She come right back and courted the general in the army. Now, we know it's the man. But listen to the way he puts it here. Because this woman was a believer.
Amen.
And so not only does he talk about she courted him, he talks about her inheritance, the inheritance she received.
Amen.
So she was a daughter of God.
Sure.
No matter how bad her past was, she was a daughter of God.
Yes,
and so that predestinated seed was in there. And so that's the thing that brought her. And just like that little woman at the well. See, her poor, let's see, raised, she courted a general in the army and was raised up, come up in Bethlehem, and her portion was lotted up in there to them. That was her portion there in Bethlehem. And she brought forth a famous son, and that famous son brought forth another famous son, and that son brought forth another famous son until the great famous son came on the scene. Jesus Christ. Huh? Right, see, right back down and on through Obed and Jesse and David. That's right. The harlot Rahab. Because she believed the messenger.
Right.
She applied the token.
Amen.
And her house was saved.
Yes, sir.
Just think, in that day and that hour for that place. Just there, that one time, that one city was that thread.
Yep.
That scarlet thread. And that was the token. And they said, when I see that token, everything under that token will be spared.
Yep.
Think about that. How many times through the scripture it happened in Moses' day when the death angel was going to pass through the land. And he told him, he said, you take a hyssop and you put the blood on the lintel and on the post, on the side, the jambs, we call them jambs now, but on the post and the lintel, which going over the top in the form of a cross, you put the blood there, and that will be a token that the death angel will pass over.
That's right.
They're going to pass by that house. They see that blood, they're not going to take the firstborn in that house. They're going to pass right on by. So it was only good right then. That was for that particular time. And so different times, but over and over and over, God gave a token. He gave a sign to the people.
That's right.
That of what he was going to do and a way of deliverance for the people. And when we look in that way, we can see how you can't go back and use the token of another day. You can't go back and live off of another promise, off of being delivered by something in Noah's day or something in Moses' day or something in that day. Brother Branham said, Jesus' message won't work today. Why? Because he's not going to hang on Calvary today.
Amen.
That message has been delivered.
Yes.
That's done. Those eternal thoughts have been manifested, vindicated, proven. They're done.
Yes.
He's not a baby in a manger today.
Right.
He's not. He'll never be again. That was in that day only. It was then and only then.
Amen.
And now he has come in the form of the Holy Ghost. He's here in the form of the Word, the revealed Word.
Amen.
And he's here in the fullness. He's manifesting himself in the fullness of the Spirit today.
That's right.
So much so that it's the literal life of Jesus Christ in the believer today.
Amen.
It's not just an anointing upon your flesh. It's not just an anointing of the Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit, upon your spirit.
Right.
No, it's not that today. Now it's the literal life. Now there's a soul change. That nature you were born with, it dies and the life of Christ comes into you.
Amen.
Not just the spirit anointing. It's not that. And the token today is not the blood. It is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit living in you. And so when Brother Branham preached the token message four times. He preached it in Jeffersonville, Dallas, I think maybe Shreveport, and I can't think of the four places right now, but he preached it four times, and they're worth studying, they're worth reading, and you'll see in there. And he how he ties it together. The blood was the price that was paid. Nothing will ever take that away. That was the price of redemption. And that was paid on Calvary. So it never has to be paid again. It's done. It's paid now. But now there's something that has to be done today. That's what I'm talking about, is that part that has to be done today. And that's the receiving of the Spirit. That's the thing that's got to be today. So she applied the token and her house was saved. Or she had perished down there where she was at. Now listen close. Oh, say, do you recognize it? All under it was saved in Egypt. All under it was saved in Jericho. Did they have the same token? No, they didn't have the same token, did they? No. One was blood, one was a scarlet thread. Huh? All under it will be saved today. The blood-bound, blood lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 13, verse 10 and 20, and I don't got time to read it. I was going to read it. It's called the Everlasting Covenant. See? The blood of Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Covenant. Yes, sir. Everlasting Covenant. And I'm going to read the scripture. I just put it in here. And I just decided at the last minute, so that's why you don't have it. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the Everlasting Covenant. Now, the scripture Paul is telling us, Paul is identifying something to the people that I don't think was fully understood until this day. And they had it to an extent, but the real reality has really been stressed in this day, the difference between eternal and everlasting. Amen. And that is a revelation, yes, that came by our prophet or the messenger of the seventh church age, that the word eternal means no beginning and no ending. And the word forever means from beginning to ending. Yes. So now he's identifying the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ as having a beginning.
Right.
And so we know where it began. It's just scripture, it's history, it's right there. So now it's going to take a prophet that revealed this when its beginning was. It's going to take a prophet now to reveal where its ending is.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If it's everlasting, that means it has a beginning, has an ending. And so God sent a prophet in the last days to reveal all the mysteries of the Bible. And then, after his work was finished, the seventh angel message to reveal all the mysteries of the Bible, then he was going to reveal those seven thunder mysteries that he said was not written in the Bible. They were spoken word. So they were going to have to be written. The mystery wasn't there, but they were hid. They were hidden, those things. And so he's identifying this everlasting covenant has an ending of time. So why wasn't it called an eternal covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. See? Why wouldn't it be called eternal? See? When we're redeemed, it's all over then. Huh? When we're redeemed. When are we redeemed? There's the question.
That's right.
When are you redeemed? Huh? When the book of redemption is revealed.
That's right.
That's what we've been waiting for. We didn't know it. They didn't know it. For 2,000 years, they knew that Christ had paid the price. So they figured it was over. That's why the disciples had such a hard time coming to terms and understanding what Christ was talking about. Because here they're thinking that the Messiah has come and it's finished and it's over with. And now he's going to set up his kingdom now. The millennium will set in. All these things will be done. All the Romans and all this other stuff is going to be wiped off. All be done. But no. Not only does he not do that, but now this thing goes on for 2,000 years.
Amen.
2,000 years after he's paid the price. So if he paid the price, then what's the purpose? What is he doing?
Amen.
There's another part of redemption,
right,
that had to be finished, that had to be accomplished. And it's in God's time. It's not in our time. It's in God's time.
Yes,
and so God's time, he was going to stay there as a mediator. And now that he paid the price now, they were no longer going to be applying the blood of bulls and goats. But now the mediator was going to apply his own blood for the ignorance, the prophet said, for the ignorance of the people.
Right.
And now, what were we ignorant to? The redemption had not been revealed. It had not been revealed in its fullness. Yeah, we know that on the day of Pentecost, they got this everlasting covenant, and along with the everlasting covenant, they received a commandment of repent and be baptized, and you'll be saved.
Yep.
But we found out that everyone who repented and got baptized wasn't saved.
Amen.
Brother Branham said millions and millions today. He said they go into the water, a dry sinner, and they come out of the water a wet sinner.
Yes.
Nothing's changed.
Amen.
It didn't do anything. So there was something more than that. It was only for the predestinated seed. It was only for those eternal thoughts, those that came out of his mind, that was in his mind before the foundation of the world. Those were the ones who went into the water in that day, and they came out born by the word of that day. And they accepted the truth for that day. And so that truth was continually being lost, falling away, as Paul told him it would be, and as history proved it into the dark ages. But then in the days of Luther, then there began to be a resurrection. And that resurrection, the word began to be restored back. There began to be a little revelation coming forth. And so they began to see some things. And he preached justification by faith. And then along came Wesley. He had a little bit more revelation. He began to preach. The resurrection, it was a resurrection of the word. It was the word that was coming back.
That's right.
Everybody's just looking for fleshly bodies to come up. But what's come up is the word.
That's right.
Because that's the body he's concerned about, is the word body.
Amen.
It's the word body. It's the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And that's what went into the ground, and that's what's got to come back up.
Amen.
This flesh has already been wrote off.
Yes, sir.
It's been judged and condemned, and it's going to die. Everything that was born by sex is going to die.
Yes, sir.
This is not going in. Jesus made it clear. He said, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Not going to happen. It's a misconception by the preachers. It's a misconception by theologians, different ones. It's not going to happen.
Right.
This is going to die.
Yes.
He has a body. He has another body. And that body don't come by sex.
That's right.
That body's is going to be perfect. This body came because of the fall. And Satan entered into the human race vicariously by deceiving the woman, by using the serpent to have a relationship with her. And then every person born in the world was born with the nature of Satan.
That's right.
That's how he entered in. That's how it all happened. And it allowed God to be able to come down and pay the price as a Savior.
Amen.
I'm to be a judge and condemn that. And come down and to live in His people.
Yes,
in this redeemed flesh.
That's right.
In this body that He redeemed, He's here in it.
Amen.
But it's only in those eternal thoughts. Only in those predestinate ones. Listen, 3:23. Why wasn't it called eternal covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. When we're redeemed, it's all over then. It's an everlasting, which means a certain amount of time till time is out.
That's right.
Now, what happened in the book of Revelation when he took the book? And what was the book? What was it all about? What was it to do? Brother Ben, we have our seal book. And I don't have it with me this morning, but we have our seal book. It's a book of redemption. Brother Branham said this Bible, said this is the book of redemption. This is it. And it was revealed when the seals were opened.
Right.
When the seals were opened, it revealed the plan of redemption.
Yes, sir.
And that we begin to see what God had in His mind. And then we begin to see the difference of what they were under for seven church ages and the difference of what we're under today.
Amen.
It's different.
Right.
And to go back and be under that, You're going back into history. You're going back into time. You're going back into another message under a different covenant.
Yes, sir.
That's what's happening. Because this covenant is an eternal covenant. And this covenant is those eternal thoughts expressing God Himself in flesh in the last days.
Amen. That's right.
See, this, a certain amount of time till time is out. Now in Revelation 10, when He takes the book, He says, time is no more. And so I can remember as a young Christian, 30 something years ago, that was a big argument. That was a big argument. Time is no more. We're still in time. Well, if you're going to take it literally, then that's how you're going to end up. That's what your understanding is going to be. If you take it carnally, that's how your understanding is going to be. But if you follow closely with what the prophet said, he didn't say time is no more as in the clock ticking, as in us living in this day, no more than it was in Jesus' day when they thought the clock would stop ticking. No. What he's telling them is time is no more for the seven church ages. Time is no more for the everlasting covenant. Time is no more for that. It's been revealed. Once it's revealed, then it's finished. That's exactly what Brother Branham said about the seven seals. He said that when the seals are broke and it's revealed, he said, then the book is sealed.
Yes.
Well, that sounds like a contradiction. What is he's saying that once the seals have been broke and you see it and you understand it and it's been revealed to you,
Then
it's all fulfilled. It's closed. It's just closed. It's the Old Testament was revealed many years ago. But they continue to read it. They continue. There's still things there that was still coming, still happening.
Yes, sir.
But even that was not fully revealed until this day.
Amen.
So it's in this hour. It's in this hour when the prophet came and the seals was revealed. So one more time. When time runs out, we won't need no covenant. But until time runs out, we need the covenant. Now, I've heard this, and this is like everything, like all the message. You people interpret it one way, they interpret it another way. And so I've heard this interpreted that now there's no more covenant, there'll never be another covenant ever again. No, we're under a covenant.
Yes, sir.
He's telling them that covenant, when time runs out, that covenant is finished. And we won't need that covenant.
Amen.
Now, you take it literal, and it sounds like there's no more covenants, there'll never be another covenant. But the difference is, we're under an eternal covenant.
Yes.
And the eternal covenant is revealed. And if it's eternal, it doesn't have a beginning, right?
Amen.
If it's eternal, it doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an ending. And that's the difference. And that's what we're under. And that's what it was in the mind of Christ. And that's what it is when we're manifested in flesh. And that's what it is when we leave this flesh.
Yes.
It'll be the same thing, just continuing on. So, but until time runs out, we need the covenant. So we needed the everlasting covenant until time was no more, which was when the seals was revealed. And when the seals was revealed, then we didn't need the covenant no more. Because that which we were ignorant of had now been revealed to us.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
Think about it. And I'm giving it to you in the simplicity. There's so much. There's no way we get it today, but we will get some more of it as we go along. But the thing, the simplicity of it for me, is the simplest parts of it, is that when the book of redemption was revealed, you simply realize God reveals to you that you were never lost.
That's right.
God reveals to you that you didn't get saved on any day. That's just the simplicity of the whole revelation, the whole mystery, the whole thing. Right there. That you were eternal in His thoughts. You could never be lost. But they were on edge all the way through. They were on edge. Even at Calvary, after Calvary, they were coming. And through the church ages, I can remember in the seventh church age. And those people would come, they'd find out about even the seventh messenger. coming all the way down. And they look at this, and they would repent, and they'd be baptized, and they'd go to the water, and somehow there was still something there that was missing. Somehow there you were still hoping, I'm going to be a good enough person, hoping that I have got this thing, that I really got it, that God has really, and I'm really saved. Yep. Somehow there was still something there. That it can't be that today. Today it's got to be 100% a revelation. Amen. That Christ has revealed himself to you and that you are a son or a daughter of God.
Yes, sir.
And when that revelation comes to you, then that strikes out everything that Satan can do.
Amen.
That strikes out every theology, every tradition, everything that Satan can ever bring before you. God, Brother Branham said, he's the accuser. He'll bring your past. He'll bring your mistakes. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to have mistakes.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yep.
Just because you're a minister, that don't mean you don't got fleshly mistakes.
Yes.
You'll have them all the time.
Yes.
And you've got to recognize that. When thoughts come to your mind, when you're born again, that don't mean that your mind is off limits to Satan.
Right.
No, he still can talk to you.
Yes, sir.
The difference is, you know the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice.
That's right.
And you tell Satan where to go.
Amen.
And you are able now, like those eternal thoughts of other ages, you are able now, in full revelation, with Christ living in you, to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
That's the beauty of this message.
Amen.
That's the beauty of this birth.
Yep.
Is that you and God have become one, and that you, the whole bride body around the world, of every nation and every tongue and every kindred,
amen,
you are able to be led by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And you recognize that the prophet said, all hell is against this revelation.
Yes, sir.
This revelation. It's a revelation.
That's right.
That's why people got to come to the place. They got to realize that what we have is a revelation, that it come from God for the last days and no other day, no other hour, no other people.
Right.
Not Luther's day, not Wesley's day, not Moses' day, not Jesus' day.
Right.
This day only has this revelation come.
Amen.
We need it, see, until time runs out. And time ran out when the book of redemption was revealed. When the book of redemption is revealed, then you are not ignorant any longer.
Right.
Today you have to be willfully ignorant.
Yep.
Because it's here.
That's right.
The scripture has been revealed. The message has been revealed.
That's right.
No. Satan comes for people and deceives them to say, no, Brother Branham made mistakes. You're willfully.
That's right.
You're willfully falling for that lie.
That's right.
It don't matter. He was in flesh too.
Yes, sir.
And he might have called Betty Susie or Susie Eloise. Huh? He might have called John Roy. He was a man.
Yes, sir.
He might have said just the other day, and it could have been 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
He was a man.
Amen.
But the God, the creator of heavens and earth, was living in that man.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And he brought forth the revelation. And there's no mistakes in the revelation.
Amen.
No matter how much his grammar wasn't good, no matter how much mistakes he would make, he could make them just like we made them.
Yes,
but God did things to prove to us. One time he misquoted a scripture, and he was talking to the people, and so it was misquoted, and he just assumed by what he was reading there. And I think he was talking about the Jews, and he said the opposite. And the people sitting there had already been taught by him that what he was saying about the Jews was the opposite of what he was saying. And so God condemned him. And he said, I don't know what's wrong. He said, I don't know what's happened. He said, I just feel like I took candy from a baby. He said, I feel condemned. And he said, something's wrong. And the man in the audience said, Brother Branham, read the scripture again. He had read it wrong. And he read the scripture again. And then he seen it. And he just was taking it for face value. And when he read the whole scripture again, he said, oh, he said, I said it wrong. There was a man. There was a man. That's what they said about Jesus. He cried. He couldn't be God. He cried. No. It was God in a man. That's the thing. That's what God... That's the beauty of what God is doing today. That's the beauty of what God was doing in Moses. That's the beauty of what God was doing in Adam.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Satan's always trying to put something in the spoke. Remember when I was a kid and we'd ride our bicycles? And somebody, you'd be riding along, somebody stick a stick or a broom handle in your sister won't even knows it. You'd stick it right in that wheel, and you stick it in the front wheel, and that bike, they just flip straight over. It's just like locking it down in a moment's time. And they just go, bam, and plow into the asphalt. People, somehow or another, they just keep messing with it. They keep messing with it. And he keeps telling us, don't mess with it. Just say what the tape says.
That's right.
But you can see it's wrote in such a way. Just what we just read about the covenant. You can take it just like that. You can take that literally and say, there's never another covenant. He's already told us there's another covenant.
Yes, sir.
There's so many things just like that. You try to take that literally, and then you mess up the revelation.
Amen.
324. Now remember, Hebrews 13, 10 and 20, or 10 to 20, everlasting covenant. See, God's blood-bound promise makes us free from sin. See, amen. And there's no sin in Him, see. Sin, self, flesh. Worship Him and show forth His promised power. God's blood-bound, token-bound, covenant people has the Spirit of Jesus Christ in here. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, displaying the covenant. Abraham was given an unconditional covenant. Not what you do, what I do. That's what it is. That's what we're under. That's what we're under today, an unconditional covenant. But today we are under a spirit covenant. This is when the fullness would come and it was going to live in the body. This is in the token, Jeffersonville, paragraph 77. But in this glorious place, under this covenant, now listen what he's saying. The token for the believer, I'm sorry, there is a difference between the blood and the life. Are you getting it? And I want to make something clear, because some of you, it's the first time you're hearing it. I don't know. But I know that I've preached this in different countries. And I remember one time in Kenya on Waiyaki Way over there, I got an invitation to go to a church and I went by and I was preaching. I was reading these quotes right here. And the preacher's wife, she was just sitting right in front of me. And when I told her there was a difference between the blood and the life today, that the blood covenant is not the token today, her mouth dropped open. She was just like, and she was in shock. She couldn't believe. And the point I want to make is, it's not an idea that I've come up with. Or Brother Goomba, or Brother Michael, or any other minister. It's not an idea we came up with. It's the prophet revealing to us the hour. It's the prophet revealing to us. I remember when I first started seeing this revelation, it scared me. Because I was afraid to talk about it. Because I was afraid the blood of Jesus Christ was the greatest thing that had ever happened on the earth. That ever was done, ever could be done, had paid the price. It was the blood of God. It was just, I feared to say something about it that would take away from it. And that's why I'm careful to say what he said.
But he's telling us, first of all, that the blood covenant was everlasting. It had a beginning, it has an ending.
Yes, sir.
So that man, that body, he was born. He had a creation. He had a beginning. That blood had a beginning. You say, no, that had to be eternal blood because it was the blood of God. No, it was blood of God by creation. It wasn't eternal blood. It just that it what didn't come by sex. That's the difference. That blood was still creation of God. It was blood. It was real blood. Just like blood you got. The only difference is it didn't come by sex.
Amen.
So there was no sin attached to it. It didn't come with the nature of Satan. It was God 100%. But he was still a man. It was still a flesh body that could die. If that blood was eternal, then the body was eternal. So then the body couldn't die, so he couldn't hang on Calvary.
Right.
That was the whole purpose of that flesh and that body.
Amen.
Was so he could come die and pay the price.
Yes.
God had to do it. So God was in it.
Yes.
And it confuses people. And when Brother Branham says it was 100% God, and you stay like that, you take that, and then you end up off the revelation. Because it was 100% God. But then he comes and he says, not the man,
right.
The God in the man.
Amen.
The flesh, he said, deity was in the man. Not the man was deity. That was flesh.
That's right.
That was a body. That died.
Amen.
But that was 100% God that was in it. 100% deity that was in it. That was in him. When Satan comes to you today and you have the revelation and you can stand and you can say, see, when the serpent came to Eve, he just changed one little thing. And he told her, he said, you can't eat of all the trees of the garden. And she said, yes, we can. We can eat of all the trees of the garden. You say, well, why did she say that? Because she knew the difference.
Yep.
She knew that all the trees of the garden, all the natural trees of the garden, were given to them for whatever they wanted. Some of them was for food. Some of them was pleasant to the eye, just to look at, because they were beautiful. They all had their purposes, okay? But this, in the midst of the tree now, we're not talking about natural trees. She knew the difference. She knew that this was not a fruit tree, a natural fruit tree. She knew this was a person. And so she said, no, we can eat of all the trees. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, we don't touch that. We don't mess with him. We don't mess with him. See? 77. But in this glorious place, under this covenant, there's a difference between the blood and the life. The token for the believer today is the Holy Ghost, not a blood, a chemistry, see? But it is the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the token that God requires of the church today. God must see this token. He must see it in every one of us. Huh? He must see this Holy Ghost in every one of us. Therefore, as the evening shadows are appearing and the wrath is ready to be poured out from on high, upon the ungodly nations, upon the ungodly unbelievers, upon the professors without a possession. See, upon these things, I've tried to unfold myself. Listen now, he's telling you about him, his experience. This had to happen to him first. And as he's told us that in these messages. In one of them, I think it was Jeffersonville, he said, before I could bring this message, he said, I've been waiting on this. He said, I've been waiting for this. He's seen it. Back there, he was speaking things in the seals. And then from there, and this is right after, he was seeing it already. He knew this thing was coming. And he said, I had to see it living in me first. I couldn't just come tell you, this is what you need to do, this is what you got to have. He said, I wanted to prove it. I wanted the vindication. I wanted it living in me.
That's right.
So when I come to tell you, I could tell you something that I know, not something somebody said. And that's exactly what he did. When he came, It was living. That was a Son of God. God give us a Son of God as an example that we could look at.
Amen.
That could be talked to. That could feel. That could express.
Amen.
That could know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of Satan.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I had a man come to my door this morning. I was studying. Boom, 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 boom. And I come to the door and he's standing there. Don't got no shirt on. Long hair. And I'm looking at him and I'm a little bit leery of him. And he said, man, he said, I ran out of gas down at the highway. And he said, I stopped at 6 or 7 houses and nobody would help me. And he said, I just need some gas. And he said, years ago, he said, I worked for the power company or the trees, tree company, cut the trees. And he said, every time we worked here. And he said, I seen your tractor and different thing. I don't know if he's talking about my junk or what. But anyways, he said, this is where we met at. He said, every time we worked over here, he said, we met here and we referred to your place. And he said, so I came to you. And I said, okay. So I gave him some gas and I took him back down there to his motorcycle and he filled it with gas. And so he started talking about the Lord. And he said, I just thank God. I really appreciate it. And I said, well, you're welcome. And I said, so we continued to talk, and finally I told him that I was a minister and that we were building a church over here, and he was welcome. And so then I told him, he said, well, man, he said, I would like to testify to you. I would like to testify. And he said, we don't got time right now, but he said, let me just give you the short version. And he starts telling me how that he's had cancer and God healed him of that. He had something else. They cut him open. They got that out of him. Had 2 or 3 things that he had scars on him. And said, you know, God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. He said, then one day he said, I was going down the road and he said, a voice spoke to me. And it really struck me the way he identified, because I hear so many people talking about God talking to them and they get an audible voice and they see. And I'm not condemning any of it because I don't know. God can do whatever he wants to do. But sometimes all those audible voices, I doubt them. I doubt them. But so anyways, he told me, he said, you know, he said, I just felt like God was talking to me. He said, I was going down the road and he said, you should put your seatbelt on. And said he thought it strange. He said, you know, it wasn't like a voice of somebody else talking. He says, it's like your own voice is speaking to you. It's like there's something out there speaking to you and you just know. And he said he knew afterwards, but he said, I was going down the road and he said, he didn't do anything. He said, it came to me again. And he said, if you want to live to see another day, you should put your seatbelt on. He said, today's your son's birthday. And if you want to live to see him again, you should put your seatbelt on. And he said, I put my seatbelt on. He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, but I put it on. And he said, I went over to Newton, Conover area. And said he was going down the road about 60 miles an hour and said a woman just pulled straight out in front of him. Said he hit her, flipped over 7 times, and he lived through it. And he said, I know that God was talking to me, that God delivered me from that. And so, and you know, there's a man who don't know God. I'm saying that because he don't know this. But God has a way. And this, we've talked about this. God has a way of bringing somebody to your door.
Yes, sir.
Or bringing you, it can be at the grocery store. It can be anywhere.
Yes, sir.
And it can just be a word. And God just wants you to speak that word. And he might have somebody just down the street's going to speak another word. And somebody down the street, another word. And God's putting all that together.
Amen.
And it doesn't have to be that we understand all of it, or that every single word comes from one of us.
That's right.
No, sometimes we get that in our mind. That's not it. God's doing it.
Yep.
Just relax and let God do it.
Yes, sir.
If you get 1 word or 10 words, or if you get to tell the whole story, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But don't let Satan make you feel bad when you know God is the one arranging it.
Amen.
God is the one making it happen. God is the one moving you here and there. God is the one moving them here and there.
Right.
That's right. Believer or unbeliever, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
He promised me he would call me and we would talk. And I'm hoping he does. And if he does, I'll know that his purpose of coming to my house and getting refused at other houses was to get him to me.
Yes, sir.
So I could talk to him.
That's right.
And God has a way. I've tried to unfold myself and live right among it, to see where it was standing before I said these things. And we are living in the shadows, and the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token that you yourself have received His token, the Holy Ghost. It's the only way and the only sign that God will ever pass. Because, listen to this now, listen, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer.
Yes, sir.
Not on the believer, into the believer.
Amen.
Not on your flesh, not on your spirit, into living in you.
Yes, sir.
Taking over fully, in full control.
Amen.
The animal life could not return back. Therefore, a blood had to be placed on the door, upon the lintel, upon the post of the door, that every passerby, the whole public, everybody coming by the house knew that there was a sign on the door, a blood, that a life had died at that door. Amen. And that's the way it has to be with every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost, a token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that the life that was in the Lamb, has returned back and is publicly sealed in there. See? That everybody passing by, talking to you, has any associates with you, seeing that the blood has been applied. That's what they know. They know something different about you.
Yes,
they know it.
That's right.
I hear testimonies from different ones. They know it. Sometimes they never talk to you. But somehow or another, when the time comes, they feel in their life that people can come to you out of the blue and ask you to pray for them. Because why? Because your life is radiating the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your life, they see something, they know you're different. They might not mention your long hair, they might not mention your dress, they might not mention anything. But they see it, and they know it.
Right.
And in the time of crisis, you're the one. You're the one they're going to come and talk to. I used to work over in Denver at a mobile home factory, and there was about between 200 and 300 guys, and it was a rough bunch of young men, and drugs, alcohol, everything. They were just rough, and there was two or three of us brothers worked there, and I felt like an outcast with the Goomba. I felt like I was hated by 90%, maybe more. And didn't even talk to many of them, but it just, some of them went out of their way to curse you, to cause havoc, to show their hatred. They went out of their way. And so, so I didn't mess with anybody. I just minded my own business and I just did my job. And then if somebody wanted to talk to me, then we could talk. If they didn't, we didn't. And more than one time in the years that I was there, somebody would come up to me that I had not had any relationship with, had nothing, witnessing to them or anything. But they knew, either they knew it from people talking about me, I know you had the same thing happen to you. And that's why I'm saying it, because it relates to every one of us. But have somebody come to me out of the blue and they're having crisis in their life. Maybe their wife, maybe their child is in the hospital, maybe something. And they come to you, and some of them with tears in their eyes and asking you to pray for them. Pray for their child, pray for their wife, pray for this. And you're thinking, everybody here hates me. You know, it's like, I think that's Elijah. And he thinks he's the only one. And God's got 7,000. God didn't tell his own prophet until that day, I got 7,000 more. Don't you worry about what I got.
Yes,
I got believers. You just yield yourself and let me use you in the capacity that I want to do.
Amen.
I'll take care of it. I'll get it lined up. I'll have you speak to somebody. I'll have you do something. Or they'll just see you and they'll know. They'll know.
That's right.
You ever get around some of these places, like you go to the coast or something, and you sisters get out there, and you watch these women that are out there in their underclothes.
Yep.
What do they do? When they see you, they look at you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and back up to the top of your head. And one of two things happens, usually. This is what usually happens. Usually they just turn their head and they don't look at you because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of how they're dressed. Something down in there tells them. But then there's the other ones that are so full of disdain that you can see the despite come on their face. You see the just, yeah, you look horrible. They hate you without a cause. That's the scripture. They hate you without a cause. That's, according to the scripture, something to glory in.
Yes, sir.
To thank God for.
Amen.
That they don't like you just because your life conforms to the Word of God. They don't like you for it.
Right.
That's okay. That's the way with every believer filled with the Holy Ghost. The token, the shed blood of the Lamb, the life that was in the Lamb has returned back and is publicly sealed in there. And everybody passing by, talking to you, has any associates with you, seeing the blood's been applied, the token of the life that was in the blood is upon you, you are safe from the wrath. That alone. Not membership, no sir. The animal life could come, not come upon the believer because it was an animal. It only spoke of a conscience, showing there would come a perfect sacrifice. And now how could there be a more perfect sacrifice than God himself becoming the atonement himself? When God was made flesh in his own creative blood. Creative blood. See? Only way that a life of God could ever come back. Because all of us was born by sex. And therefore the life that's in there is of the world. And that life will not stand. It's the thing, listen to it, listen now, he's identifying it. That's the thing that's already judged and condemned.
Yes,
already, this flesh is condemned.
Right.
Huh? He come back for that seed. Come back for that soul. He come back for that eternal part.
Right.
He don't need this. He can make a million more.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He can make all the bodies he wants to make. But that eternal thought's on the inside. That's him. That's him. See, you can't patch it up. See, it's the thing that's already judged and condemned. You can't patch it up. There's no way to patch it up. There's no way to smooth it out. There's no way to make it better. It's got to die. That's the only requirement there is. It's got to die.
That's right.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
That settles it right there.
Yes, sir.
Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
See, and the substitute, 84. The substitute, a life of Jesus Christ, has to come into you, which is the Holy Ghost. God's token, that's God's token, see, that you have accepted the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, listen to this now, therefore in the days of Wesley, the days of Luther, it was thought. Huh? Why was it thought? Why was they thinking this? Because the revelation of redemption had not come yet.
That's right.
To reveal to them the full truth.
Amen.
It was thought. See, in the days of Wesley, the chemistry of the blood. He's not talking about the blood of bulls and goats now. He's not in the Old Testament. He's in the church ages. See, it was thought to believe in the days of Wesley, the chemistry of the blood. But this is the last days, see, where the token is required. And that makes, see, that makes together the whole unit for the rapture.
Amen.
Don't you just love it when the prophet is carrying you away in Revelation and things, and then he brings it back and he ties it into the rapture?
Yes, sir.
And you're like, how did he just do that? How did he do that? You remember over there in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, And the whole rapture, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole thing. The whole thing, when it's all coming together, coming for that climax. And in the Christ of Mystery, he said, the rapture, at the whole rapture, now he said Luther was a part of it. Wesley was a part of it. Huh?
Right.
Pentecost was a part of it. Yeah. Coming up into the head now. The body. It's been a body that's been building and building, coming to the head. That catching away. Where's it catching you to? Into heavenly places.
Amen.
Into the Word. It catches them into the Word in their day, in their age. Every age, the Word, the Spirit was drawing them into the presence of God for that day. No matter how much or how little it was. And they just had a little bit in those days. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, don't be mistaken. Don't be confused. He said, they had the same Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that you have today. He said, but not in the portion. Not in the portion that you have. They just had a little bit of revelation. They just had a little bit of Word. They just had a little piece of it. But now is the full thing.
Amen.
There's a difference. There's a difference of having a detailed map here, okay? Saying, I want to go to Bakersfield, California. And you have a detailed map, tells you every turn, this way, that way. Okay? Then that's having the full directions.
Yes, sir.
But then, it makes me think of India again. Many times, way back 35 years ago, 40 years ago, traveling, and we'd ask somebody, which way to this city? And they'd just say, that way. That's like me telling you, California is that way. Okay? You say, can you give me directions to Bakersfield, California? Yeah, just go west. Well, you could end up in Seattle. You could end up in Baja, California. You could end up anywhere in between. Huh? That's a piece of the directions. Go west. That's a piece. But what's happened now is all the details have come together. Now, not only do you know you're going west, you know which highway you're on. And you know where to turn. You know where to change. You know exactly whether it's in Northern California, Southern California, or Central California. Because it's a big, long state. And it makes a difference. Whether you're going to take Interstate 10 or Interstate 20 or Interstate 40 or Interstate 80. Those interstates are going all the way across America like that. You need to know which one you need to be on.
Amen.
That's what's happened now. Satan can't come tell you that you got saved on any certain day. Because you're going to tell him, no, I was saved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
I wasn't ever lost. I was the eternal thought of God.
That's right.
Yeah. I just came down here to fulfill God's attributes upon the earth. To express his attributes. He wanted to be a savior. It was already in him to be a savior. He was a savior. And he wanted to manifest that attribute. He already.
Amen.
He's a judge. He's a king. He's a husband. He's the wife.
Huh?
He's all of it. You can't take it off and say, he's only this part. No, he is all of it. He's all of it. And he's expressing it. And you're expressing the part of him for this day, for this hour. See, the substitute, a life of Christ, has to come into you, which is the Holy Ghost, God's token, that you've accepted the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, okay, I'm sorry, dropping down. 86. Water, blood, spirit come when a mother gives birth to the baby. First thing it breaks in a normal birth is water. The second thing is the blood. And the next thing is the life. And there come from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, water, blood, life. And the whole church, the bride together, has been made up through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the token, which is the life. See? And he, as Hebrews 11 says, all these who wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins and was destitute and all those things that they done, yet not made perfect without us.
Right.
No, they were waiting for this. They were waiting for this fullness of this life, the fullness of this baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The real thing. And the church in this day, not another, this day, the church in this day, see, that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the blood has been shed, and that the Holy Ghost is upon the church without us, then they cannot rise. Huh?
That's right.
No. They cannot. And Brother Branham said, they couldn't preach this revelation. Luther couldn't preach Wesley's revelation or Pentecost's revelation. No, because it was a body that was building. It was a revelation that was building and building and building. See?
Amen.
They're depending on us. For God promised He would have it. And somebody's going to be there, see? I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to receive it. And the only thing I'm responsible is to preach it. That's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed.
Amen.
Amen.
You
might think you got to go find it. God can send it to your door.
That's right.
He can send it to your door. He can send you to their door. He'll do what He wants to do, when He wants to do, how He wants to do.
Amen.
Praise be to God. It's God's business, see, to look out for that predestinated. See, there's only going to be there, though. See, there is going to be there, though. That's the only ones that's going to be there. Because they're going to be there, each one of them. One with the other, the water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. And remember, Israel come through many things. Many things. He's giving you the type now, because the type always works. It always comes all the way through. But it was the evening time when the token was required. Not in the morning, not in the preparation. The 14 days of keeping up the lamb, Israel knowed something was coming. 14 days. That's 2 sevens. Brother Branham said there was a type of 7 church ages in the Old Testament, 7 church ages in the New Testament. We've gone through all of that.
Yes.
And now we're in the evening time.
Amen.
Now we're in the evening time. So did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. So did Finley and Knox and Calvin know it. This is it. They knew it was coming. Huh? They knew something was coming. They just had a little piece of it. They knew something was coming. This is it. The prophet's telling us this is it.
Yes, sir.
They knew there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. They know there would come a time that these things would happen. See? But they didn't live to see it. But they looked forward to it. That's right. But they were going to be made perfect by it because they were a part of the same body.
Yes,
and now it's come to the body. And now this part of the body is manifesting the head, the intelligence. Israel knew something was coming, but it was in the evening time when the lamb's blood, the token, was placed on the door. Yet the lamb was already put up, see? But it's been the lamb. Listen to this now. It's been the lamb all the way through.
Yes,
it was the lamb. In Luther's time. It was the lamb in Wesley's time. But now, huh? But now?
Yes, sir.
Now is the token time. That each house must be covered by the token.
Amen.
Each house of God.
Yes,
each house of God.
Amen.
See? Must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it. Must be covered by the token. And the house of God is the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By one Spirit. See, we're all baptized into this token and become part of it. That God said, when I see the token displayed, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
What an hour that we're living in.
Yes,
see, a blood identified. See, identify the believer because the life had gone out and could not come back. See, so they had to have the chemistry of the blood. He had to have like a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed the life went out. Now, the very Spirit itself is the token.
That's it.
Huh? That's the token today, not the blood. Now the token today is the Spirit, the very life itself, the literal life of Jesus Christ in you. See, the blood was shed at Calvary. That's true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it came.
Yes,
from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. The chemistry had no life in it itself. Therefore, it could not move. But when the life came into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. And it formed its own cell. And then cell after cell, then it became a man. And that man was God, Emmanuel, in flesh. See? But when the life returned back, the chemistry went to it. See? The chemistry went back to the ground. But the token, you see how easy it is to take an idea. And that's what an intellectual mind will do to it. That's why God gave us a simple mind. To say it in a simple way.
Yes, sir.
So simple people, so we could get it. So we could understand it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ.
That's right.
That's the token. It's the revelation living in you. It's Christ living in you, revealing himself, revealing the word, revealing the day, revealing the hour. Praise be to God. It has to be. Because a woman and her husband become one. They become one. And so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. Huh? You can't separate it. You can't separate it when he's inside the flesh.
That's right.
The bride ministry is Jesus Christ on the earth.
Amen.
See, the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. And remember, these former treatises, O Theophilus, have I wrote to you that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop him. No, sir. He returned again. Not a third person, but the same person, returned again in the form of the Holy Ghost, and to continue the work on, and continues on, said the book of Acts, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the token, see? That's the sign. That's right. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Oh, my. Okay, I'm trying to skip some here. Let's go to 327. God, after those days will I write my laws upon the fleshly tables of their heart. We went through the law, we went through all these different things, but he's made a promise. One of those prophets spoke back there and said, I'm going to write it in their hearts. That's where I'm going to put it. See? Not upon the stony tables and a lamb's blood, which you had to say, yeah, I got the blood over here. Now, what does it say do? But upon the tables of your heart, see. Listen, people. We're getting almost done. The Spirit covenant will I make with the people. This is the one now. This is the greatest one right here. This is it. This is what finishes the body. This is what raptures the body. This is what brings her to that climax, to that manifestation, that vindication that Christ is on display. Upon the tables of your heart, see, the Spirit covenant will I make with the people. When Jesus came on the scene, he never said very much to people. Everybody wanted him in his church. Oh, this young prophet, we're just so happy to have him. He was healing the sick. Oh, glory to God. God has raised up a great man among us. That was fine. So one day it came to a spot to where, see, that was his sign. Isaiah 35 said it would be a sign. The lame would leap like a hart and so forth. The blind would see. It was a sign. We had it today.
Right.
We had a first pole. We had a second pole. The man said, not in the beginning. He said, but when the message, when that third pole begins to come, when the real message, when the spoken word begins to open up, he displayed his sign as Messiah and so forth. And they, many of them said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. That voice was speaking of something. That sign was pointing that a voice was coming. that something was coming. What was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine and call them a bunch of snakes in the grass. He wasn't popular from then on, see? When the voice came with the sign. The sign went first. That's right. And you look at the prophet in the early years, he even talked about it. He'd say things like, you know, I have the courtesy, respect, not to preach doctrine in another man's pulpit. And you watch. And he didn't do that. For a long time, he didn't do that. And then you come to a place where he said, I told the people, I never preach anything, these deeper things, these new things, except I'll come home. And you watch. He did that for a long time. You watch the last year. He couldn't do it anymore. You watch. You watch those last days, those last months. The revelation was coming fast. He told us. He said, it's coming so fast, I can't even keep up with it. Right. Now, you go take those messages out of Shreveport there in November 1965. Loaded. Yep. He displayed his sign, 77, as Messiah and so forth. And many of them said, yes, I could go. So what happens is you're loved. As long as you're that sweet, loving, kind person, the kind neighbor, the kind co-worker, the kind that is always helping, always doing. But when it comes time that you've got to speak the truth, when you've got to say the revelation, then you're not that sweetheart anymore. You start losing some of your favor. That's how it is for preachers. Preachers, people preach, they can love a preacher until it comes time that he puts out correction. He puts out something they don't like. Yeah.
That's right.
That's what happened. That's what happened to Jesus. And he was just healing the sick, raising the dead. He was feeding the thousands. They loved it. And he told them. They followed him all over the place. He said, you just came to get fed. You just came for the free meal. That's human nature. But the seed is going to come and they can take the correction.
Amen.
The rest of them can't. There is a reproach that always comes with the word. There's a reproach. And it separates a lot of people. A lot of people don't want the reproach. They don't want that. See, when he began to teach his doctrine and call them a bunch of snakes in the grass, he wasn't popular from then on. See? When the voice came with the sign went first. That's right. 78, Moses went down in Egypt with a sign, and he threw down his rod, turned into a serpent. That was a sign. But after a while, the voice came with the sign. Then it was different, see? They don't want that. The voice must be, follow a sign. The voice must follow a sign, and at no other time could it ever have come but that time, because it was time for the scriptures to be fulfilled. And look what he told him, see, in the burning bush. I have seen the groans and heard them of my people and seen the afflictions by the taskmasters of Egypt. And I remember my promise that I made to Abraham. 400 years had expired. And he told Abraham they would be down there, see, and no other time could it be. Moses had to come just at that time. God's great clock ticks perfect. It won't be 1 minute fast or 1 minute behind. It'll be exactly on time. See? Amen.
Amen.
God's not behind.
That's right.
You might think, oh, I need this right now. God's on time. He don't come late. Everything was running just right. Could not come at other times. Neither could these things come at other times. This could not have come in the days of Luther. That's where I wanted to get. This spirit covenant could not come in the days of Luther.
Amen.
They were under the everlasting covenant, a blood covenant. And now we are under the spirit covenant, the literal life of Jesus Christ living in his bride in the last days.
Amen.
See, it could not have come in the days of Wesley, the days of the Baptists or the Methodists in their days. It couldn't have come. It has to come now. Israel has to be a nation. See? The churches has to be like they are now. See? Israel had to be in the homeland. See? And it is now. And that's so much greater significance than a lot of message people put to it. Because by Israel being in the homeland opens a door for these other things to happen. He tells us they happen together. The churches has to be, see, like they are now, there had to be a third message, a third church age. And he's not talking about the church ages 1, 2, 3. He's talking about 5, 6, 7. He's talking about the last three. When the word began to resurrect, he's talking about during that time, and that's where the woes were, and that's where those last three ages is where the Spirit began to go forth and do so many things. There had to be a third message, a third church age. There had to be a Laodicea. It could not form until Pentecost come and shot their wad and went out and organized and did what they did. Then it has to come. Then comes the Lord when they put him out of the church. Huh? Then he comes when they put him out. He's not going back into another church. He's not going back. He was in the church through the ages, but now he's been put out. And now he's in his wife. That's where he's at now. He's in his wife. He's in the bride. Then it has to come. See, then comes the Lord when they put him out of the church. He is the Word. They're afraid to challenge that Word anywhere. They keep awful quiet about it, but yet they fuss about it. Chicago here, and I'm closing with this. Chicago here not long ago, when the Lord gave me a vision, I had 300 ministers down there. And I said, now I know what you about serpent seed and so forth. I said, I want any one of you to take your Bible and come stand by my side and disprove it. Disprove the serpent seed. Disprove baptism. Disprove these other things. And yet they say, Brother Branham is a prophet. Listen to this. Listen to what he's saying. Brother Branham is a prophet when he is anointed. But when the anointing is off of him, I don't know. If that isn't the mark of a mixed up theologian. See, the word prophet means a divine revealer, revelator of the word. The word prophet means a divine revealer of the word. Amen. The word of the Lord come to the prophets. And that's how Jesus was identified. And they said after the resurrection, they said, we know he was a prophet of God. They admitted it. Brother Ram says, it's always after death. Always after they're gone. Their pride won't let them have it before. But after they're gone, then they... Even the Catholic Church would dig them up and make saints out of them. But that's still a mixed up theologian. You're a saint while you're living. Amen. The very word prophet means a divine revealer of the word. I hope every one of us got that down deep. Amen. Especially young people. That's the thing. That's the reason why the people must not let Satan shake them from this message, from this messenger. This is Christ himself. When the seventh angel's message was finished and the church ages closed, the seals was revealed, the church ages was revealed, all of that was revealed. Down comes that mighty angel. And he come. That was Christ himself. And the only thing he needed was a body. The seventh angel was finished. Brother Ram said, there can't be two of us at the same time. The seventh angel's message was finished.
Amen.
And Christ takes that body of the seventh angel, incarnates himself, and begins to bring forth the revelation of those seven thunders. He begins to reveal the promise of this hour. He begins to become one with his wife, his bride. One more time. The word prophet means a divine revealer of the word. The word of the Lord come to the prophets. That's how Jesus was identified. And they said after the resurrection, we know he was a prophet of God. See, no man could do these things lest God be with him. Then wouldn't accept his message. They wouldn't accept John, and he was a prophet. They wouldn't accept Elijah, none of the rest of them. And they had the divine revelation. That's where it's at. That's where it's always at. And to see somebody walk away because of the cloud or because of a miss call of a name or something like that, that is just human error. There's no mistakes in the revelation. God over and over and over proved for us to know that he was protecting the revelation.
Amen.
So much so that in the message, the unveiling of God, in the first 9 or 10 pages, he said, some things are said to throw them off. Some things are said to make them go out the door. Huh? To make them misunderstand. To make them disagree. And Brother Branham said, and that's done on purpose. I don't think Brother Branham was purposely trying to mislead them. I think the Spirit was guiding him on what to say, how to say it,
yes,
when to say it, so that for those that were supposed to be confused, those that were supposed to reject it, they did. And I believe that same thing is in us. I think that we're careful. We want to be careful. Nobody could be more conscientious. Nobody could be more careful than what he was.
Amen.
I mean, he was the most humble. He was the most everything of all good things, good characteristics that a person could have. And he admitted that he made mistakes. How much more with us? How much more with us? At the same time, the bride is ministering. When she is speaking this revelation, she is ministering eternal life. She's inviting people to accept. You say, well, they always had it. Yeah, that's exactly right. But there comes a day that you realize it. And that's what you're ministering to people, is so the seed can be quickened for them to recognize that they were there with you in eternity. And so when that happens, that's God's doing that. And at the same time, there's things about you that Satan will have somebody use it for an excuse to go away.
Yes.
And I'm full of faults, I'm full of failures, and I'm sure there's been plenty. And I've had people tell me, hey, man, you're not a Christian, you're not this, you're not that, you and what can you say? You just let them go. You just leave them.
That's right.
You do good, whatever you can do for them, and then it's between them and God.
That's right.
And you can't change that. You can't change it.
Yeah.
They're in the hands of God. Amen. We'll ask you to stand together with us. Praise be to God. Amen. Brother,
bless you. God bless you. That was good. That was very, very, very good. And I think I was telling somebody that if you don't grow, and we always talk about people because of the history, and every one of us have a history that you can look and say, surely, I would look at myself and say, surely I would have done things differently now if that history comes here.
Amen.
But as a human being, you keep on looking back at things. And every one of us has their history. Don't think there's anybody that is perfect. There's nobody that is perfect.
Amen.
And I was telling somebody that the dawn that we have today and the dawn we had 30 years ago is a different dawn.
Amen.
I was telling you. And we had a very long talk with that sister. A long talk. This is a different dawn. This is a different dawn. And if you don't grow, I think there's a quote that was read the other day. If you don't grow, you look at the journey of Israel when they were going, I'm not preaching, I'm just saying something. You look at the journey of Israel when they were going to Israel. Whenever they stopped, not moving, whenever they stopped, they sinned again. Every time, they sinned against God. If you don't grow, then you're going backwards.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't grow in Christ, then you're going on the wrong way. If you're not going straight to God, then you're going in the wrong way. There's nothing like stagnation. There's nothing like you're not going. You must go somewhere. You're either going towards God or you're going backwards.
Yeah,
right. That's why we grow. Of course, the ages have grown from this glory to this glory and to the glory. We've gone to the perfection. That's the church ages. That's the church. That's what has done. But individually, you are growing. Individually, you're growing from this glory to Christ. I mean, you're getting better every time. You're getting closer. You're getting more and more and more like Christ.
Amen.
Because we are under the S-O-N, the Son. And every seed that is under S-U-N is growing. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Sure.
That's where we are. And thank you very much for the sermon today. And one of the things that I would say is, and that is a bit tricky. That's a bit tricky. Is about suffering for Christ. So sometimes, hatred. People hate you. People don't like you. And that is like he was saying about they look at you in disrespect and disdain because you are Christian like that. And that is the food for a Christian. That's our food. Don't turn around and try to please them.
That's right.
Just like the prophet, he said that was if Jesus, he asked his wife, he said, "Wife, I know you know me very well. I know you're getting tired. Let's put Christ here. My wife, I know you love me very much. Let's put Christ here. And put Brother Branham here, and put Christ here, and put Brother Branham here. Christ here and Brother Branham here. My wife, now look at us, me and Christ. Who do you pick? He said, "I love you very much as my husband, but this is my savior. Mm-hmm. I'll take this."
Amen.
It comes to that.
Right.
It comes to that,
amen.
Sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Who do you choose? Who do you choose to please? You want to please them so very much. You want them happy. You want them happy so much. You love them. Maybe some of them are your children. Some of them are your family. Some of them are very close people to you. Some of them are church members. Let me say that one with all due respect. Some of them are church members, maybe from other churches. Or whatever it is.
Right.
Who do you please? Who do you want to please? Yeah. Who do you want to have more? Because you've got to please one of them and make the other one. What do you want?
Amen.
This is your food. You suffer, they mistreat you. You go places where they do things like you're not even there to frustrate you, to make you feel like you are nobody in their midst, in their churches and things like that. What do you do? Be joyous, be happy. That's part of you. That's your life. For better things are waiting for you.
Yes.
We are getting out of this world and we are going forever and we are going where we belong. We belong to one place that is in Christ. And we are there in Christ.
Yes.
And that's a great thing. A recognition that you're in Christ.
Yes.
I was thinking about, but this is the last point. I was thinking about that the prophet promised us that when all these things are happening, he will hide us in the pinnacle of the earth. And I was thinking, where is that pinnacle of the earth that the bombs you get? Where is that pinnacle? And that's me. I'm not good. But to me, it's a revelation. Take this body, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. That's what he said. Take this body, and I'll point one time. Grave, where is your power? You can hold me. You put me anywhere. Put me in the grave. Put me anywhere. Kill me. Do whatever. I have a revelation. I have a recognition who I am. There's nothing. That's the hiding place, right? That's where I'm hid. That's where You do whatever. You can molest me. You can bully me. You can, because I'm a Christian, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm safe somewhere. I'm a revelation. I grow somewhere. I'm rested. I'm at peace. You can crush me. You can shoot me. You can do whatever you do. I'm safe. I'm somewhere.
Amen.
With joy and peace in my heart.
I know.
Right. And that's where. That's where. Yeah. Father, thank you. I don't have words, Lord, to use in this. How happy and joyous we are when you stand before us, Lord God, and speak the way you do. It's so sweet, Lord. That's the best thing that you can give to a human being, Lord, like us. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for that, Lord. It brings us closer to you. It makes us love you more. It makes us know you more, Lord God, and the amount of love that you have for us, Lord God, and it makes us love you more, Lord. We pray that you continue drawing us to yourself, Father. You make us reveal yourself to us, Lord God, that you make us love you more and serve you better and have a greater sense of belonging in you, Lord God, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.